Chapter 2. Jim Babb met me at the airport in Bangor, Maine, and asked, as you're supposed to ask to be polite, how was your flight? I said, the flight was fine, but I must have been randomly profiled in Denver because security was a bitch. For about 15 minutes, I was the prime suspect. At least I wasn't cavity searched. The answer to how was your flight can be a lot longer now than it once was. At its worst, it's like saying, how are you, to a hypochondriac. Then, as we walked toward an escalator, I asked, so how's it look? Jim said, well, not great. My heart did not sink. When you travel to fish, you hear that often enough, and you're expected to take it like a man, as we used to say. It doesn't always turn out to be true, anyway. Anything can happen on the water, including the good stuff. And even when it is true, it's still just fishing. It's not like a death sentence or anything. We rode the escalator down to the baggage carousel and stood around with 60 or 70 other passengers like gamblers around a roulette wheel. We'd all bet that our luggage would arrive when we did. Now we were waiting to see if we were right. There are no guarantees on travel any more than there are on fishing. There are only degrees of likelihood. The plan was to drive north, meet Paul Guernsey and Dave Gallipoli at a cabin on Frost Pond, and fish a nearby river for landlocked salmon, a fish I'd heard about but had never caught. But conditions had been weird. There'd been a serious drought in Maine the previous winter, not unlike the one back home in Colorado, except that theirs had been followed by the coldest, rainiest spring since the 1860s. Enough rain fell to more than break their drought, which was good, but it was also enough to swell the rivers and chill the water, which was bad because landlocked salmon fishing is all about flow and temperature. Landlocked salmon are just what the name says. Atlantic salmon that are landlocked in fresh water, so that instead of running out to the ocean to grow big on shrimp and herring, they run to deep lakes and get somewhat less large but still plump on forage fish like smelt. Aside from that technicality, they're either just like Atlantic salmon or they are Atlantic salmon, depending on whom you ask. By all accounts, a 20-inch landlock weighing close to 3 pounds is considered a good one, at the high end of normal and full of fight. And in most places, anything over 5 pounds could be the fish of a lifetime. At least that's what Dr. Robert Behnke says in his beautiful and authoritative book, Trout and Salmon of North America. Although I've talked to fishermen from the Northeast who claim to regularly catch them up to 8 and 10 pounds. And they can get bigger. Behnke cites historical reports of landlocks from Lake Ontario weighing over 40 pounds. But those would have been amazing fish even back in the good old days, and that population is now said to be extinct. Landlocks are essentially lake fish, they're also called lake salmon, but they swim up the rivers to feed in the spring when the water rises and warms. Later, they drop back into the lakes to wait out the heat of summer, then run back up the rivers when the water cools in the fall to feed again for a while and then spawn. They're not technically anadromous, because they don't go to salt water, but the effect on the fishing is the same. You wade into a landlocked salmon river knowing that, in the grand scheme of things, the fish are more likely to be absent than present. We inland fishermen have trouble grasping that. There are plenty of days when we can't catch fish, even though we know they're in there and we might even be able to see one now and then. But the idea that an entire population could be altogether elsewhere is troubling. But your one advantage with landlocks is that, unlike sea-run Atlantic salmon, they eat while they're in the rivers. You fish for them the way you would for trout, sometimes with streamers, sometimes with whatever dry flies or nymphs seem right at the time. On the long drive north, Jim said, they're just like Atlantic salmon, except they bite for reasons you can understand.